On a recent cold and snowy night in Washington, D.C., scores of women stream into a local bookstore called Politics and Prose to hear a Southern female author who's fast shooting up the bestseller ranks. Most in the audience have come straight from work, and since this is Washington, D.C., the women are generally dressed for success. But in this sea of smart pantsuits and sweater sets, there are the standouts, the women adorned with feather boas and tiaras. With names like Petunia Peach or Kimmy Darling, they are the converts. Some are even wearing the caricature costumes that are the hallmark of tonight's featured speaker.
Diamond necklace, diamond pins,
diamond earrings,
jewelry.
If it sparkles, we wear it.
And real live majorette boots.
They've packed into this bookstore, more than 100 in all, to hear the outlandish and outspoken woman who calls herself the Sweet Potato Queen.
Okay, y'all can close your eyes and I'll describe myself for the radio audience. I'm 5'2". I have long red hair, green eyes. I have enormous breasts. I have little teeny tiny feet. My shoes are just like little doll shoes, you know.
Her real name is Jill Connor Brown, and she's really 6'1". She has graying hair, and it's enhanced by a detachable mane of curls. She calls it her travel hair. And then there are her regal adornments.
Anyway, this is my travel crown, and I have the matching earrings, I have the ring, the bracelet, and the scepter. And it's just enough, you know. Any more would be just, you know, too much. Although, you know, we believe that more is more. Whoever said less is more is just stupid. I mean, what does that even mean? You know, but anyway.
Jill Connor Brown is hawking her fourth book, The Sweet Potato Queen's Big Ass Cookbook and Financial Planner. But you won't find this book in the cooking section or the financial aisle in your local bookstore because it's really a tongue-in-cheek self-help guide. The financial tips read more like punchlines, and the recipes are not exactly haute cuisine. Consider the delicacy called pig candy. Bacon strips are coated with brown sugar and baked or microwaved until the mixture begins to caramelize.
Now, this food is play food. This is poison food. If you eat this, you will die, and you will die with a big ass. But a big smile.
Millions of women have bought her books. She's in the top 10 of the New York Times bestseller list. She has a pilot in the works for the WB Network, and plans are underway for a syndicated talk show. Wherever she goes, she packs the house, and there's a reason why. Behind the funny dress and the fatty food, there's a message.
Choice is the most important word in our language. If you ain't loving life, change it. Life is too short and too long to spend it doing anything that does not make your heart sing. And that dreams are very important, but as dreams, they are completely worthless. I can tell you from personal experience, it is infinitely better to live your dreams than it is to dream them. And of course, finally, well-behaved women rarely make history.
Jill Connor Brown removed her tiara, pulled off her travel hair, set down her sequins, and sat down for a conversation to talk about the Sweet Potato Queen phenomenon, something she refers to as a mission.
I do feel a very strong sense of mission about it, I do. And without exception, every time I speak anywhere or sign anywhere, somebody will come up, you know, nearly teary-eyed and say, you know, your book's changed my life. And I'll say, you know, how? And it'll be that they left a bad marriage, or they left a job they didn't like, or that they just found themselves. You know, life can get bad so gradually that you really don't realize it. You just keep lowering your expectations, lowering the bar, and until something happens that breaks that spell and you find yourself again, and you go, here I am, I'm in here, and you realize how bad you've been feeling. And then when you realize that, then you can make the changes.
You have some sage advice about aging. That's one of the things you talk about a lot in your books.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty doesn't last. Stupid does.
But fortunately, so does smart. So it's I've tried to instill that in my daughter. You know, when she would, you know, I've had pageant parties forever where we shoot rubber darts at the TV. And she would say, you know, Mama, they're pretty. And, you know, and the dresses are pretty and all that. And I said, well, yes, they're pretty. And they're all pretty. We're all pretty. It's a wonderful thing to be pretty. But it's a, you know, it's a freak of nature. It's nothing to your credit that you're pretty. It's the luck of the draw, you know, and you can't rest on that.
Is that a big part of the message in your book, to celebrate what you've got, and even if it means embracing the process of aging?
Right. That, well, I mean, it's better than the alternative, as far as we know. You know, nobody has spoken from the other side of, I mean, we all want to cling to this life as long as we can, but live it. And don't wait to live. We're always waiting that as soon as I lose weight, I'm going to do this. As soon as the kids get out of school, as soon as we get out of school, we're going to do this. It's always we're waiting to live. And you don't always get that option. People get hit by buses every day. So as I got older, a few talents did start to emerge for me. For instance, I can smile. Showing nearly every tooth in my head at nothing, and I can do it for a long time. If I've had a few drinks, you can see every tooth in my head. I can wave equally well with either hand while smiling. I can form an opinion that fast about virtually anything in the universe with literally no information whatsoever. And I actually prefer it that way. I find facts to be very cumbersome things. I'm really not interested. And people will mind me. I have no idea why. People will do what I say. They always have. Perhaps it's because I'm huge and they're afraid, and I don't care why. You know, that's a good thing. Just so they do it. That's all I care about. So, I have not seen a job description so far that is looking for what I've got. And about this time, I happened to see a photograph of my own personal mother juxtaposed with a photograph of Queen Elizabeth of England. And they're like identical twins. I'm not kidding. They look exactly alike. They have the same bad hairdo, tacky glasses. They look just alike. And when you add to that the fact that my mother was adopted from unknown biological parentage, it wasn't too big a leap for me to go, you know, aha. Uh-huh. We are some kind of lost bastards of the Windsors. They are probably looking for me right now. I am supposed to be a queen. That is why I can do all this worthless crap that, you know. And
was there a real epiphany that led you to this?
Well, the first year for the Queens was 1982, which was the year that my father died, who was the center of my universe always. And it was a hard time. But I've just, you know, taken the lessons I got from him. He was the funniest person who ever lived. And it's his voice, you know, on those pages. It's and my favorite stories in there are the ones about him. He was, you know, he was hilarious.
Now, you're pretty hard on men in your books.
I don't think so. Well, no more so than I am on us. I grew up with a bunch of guys. These are not male bashing books. You know, it's and what I always tell women is don't read it to your husband or your boyfriend, because if you do, he'll get all shifty-eyed and guilty-looking, like he's done something and he's not sure what. But if he reads it for himself, he'll blow coke out his nose. I mean, he will laugh. They know it's true. And I tell just as much stuff on women. You know, we talk about hormones and everything. It's the human condition. And it's funny. You know, the slogan of never wear panties to a party from the first book really came about in total innocence. When I was about 14 months pregnant with Bo Peep, and we were going out to a party. I was still married to her father at the time. And we're going to a party, and I was struggling to get dressed. And now some of the gentlemen in the audience may not be aware that sometimes when we wear pantyhose, we don't wear panties with them, hence the name pantyhose, because we worry a lot about VPL, visible panty line. Now, why I thought at this advanced stage of pregnancy, I thought that anybody was going to be looking at my butt, I don't know. But it was an issue. So I'm struggling into these tights, and Billy came through the room and said, "You're not wearing panties?" And just really to just blow him up, I just said, oh, you never wear panties to a party. And just, you know, went on with my labors. And I realized about 30 seconds later that he was still standing there. You know, kind of slack-jawed and mouth-breathing, as y'all will do from time to time. And finally he said, does nobody? And I said, does nobody what? I mean, I was off of, and he said, does nobody wear panties? I was just completely outdone. I mean, he thought that I had just revealed the secret of the universe, that there were not going to be any panties at that party, had never been any panties at any party, and he was the only guy that knew. And so that's where the panties thing came from. But, you know, I was speaking someplace one time, and this little old lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, you know, I think that never wear panties to a party thing's the smartest thing I ever heard. And I said, yes, ma'am. You know? And she said, well, you wouldn't wear a mask if you wanted to be kissed. And I said, no, ma'am. I guess not. So much for little old ladies. And so when people ask me now, you know, should I give this to my mother? I said, give it to your grandmother. You know, give it to anybody.
It's clear that this is not just a book. It's a movement.
It's a movement. It is a worldwide movement.
Why do you think it hits them in such a personal place?
Well, you know, the voice is Southern, obviously, because I'm Southern, but the experience and everything is universal, and I think it does strike a chord with not just women. I mean, there were men here tonight as well. I think that laughter is one of the greatest blessings that we're given, and that life is hard on a good day for everybody, and you might as well laugh. You know, it just helps.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Jill Connor Brown's latest book is called The Sweet Potato Queen's Big Ass Cookbook and Financial Planner. To hear the complete version of her reading at Politics and Prose, go to our website at npr.org.